As the world waits for coronavirus vaccines, authorities are already taking extreme measures to protect them from getting into the wrong hands.
One person I spoke to had said in the government that they're appropriately paranoid about security for these vaccines. And the vaccines that are already being manufactured are being stored at undisclosed locations.
And Google's former CEO vigorously defends the company against the government's antitrust lawsuit. Plus, why parking lots have become a hot real estate asset. It's Wednesday, October 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. After years-long federal investigations, OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma has reached a more than $8 billion settlement with the Justice Department over the drug maker's role in the opioid crisis. The amount of the settlement is largely symbolic. Purdue filed for bankruptcy over a year ago. Purdue also pled guilty to three felonies related to its marketing and distribution of the powerful painkiller. Our legal reporter Sarah Randazzo says there's still a long road ahead for Purdue and the Sackler family, which still owns the company.
There's still many large targets that states and counties are trying to get settlements with, including big distributors and other drug makers. And settlement discussions are underway for those. And there could be a $26 billion deal with other companies announced soon that's in the works. And notably for Purdue, this isn't the end. This is a deal with the federal government, but they still need to work this deal through the bankruptcy and deal with states and counties and other creditors who say they want money from Purdue.
At least 450,000 people in the U.S. have died from overdoses of prescription and illegal opioids since 1999. Google's former CEO, Eric Schmidt, is firing back at the Justice Department's antitrust lawsuit against the company. Speaking at the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live conference today, Schmidt, who was on the board of Google's parent company Alphabet until last year, said he doesn't believe the search giant broke antitrust laws.
I can say that we worked really hard to avoid any illegal activity. And I'm quite sure that there's no violations of law on the Google side. I'm sure there are things to complain about with respect to what Google does. We hear complaints all the time. I'm not there anymore. But as a matter of antitrust, I spent an awful lot of time on the other side of the Microsoft case in 1997. And so we worked very hard to not trip those wires. And I'm quite sure we did not.
The Justice Department is accusing Google of preserving a monopoly on search and search advertising through anti-competitive practices. Google has called the lawsuit deeply flawed and plans to challenge it. Schmidt said that he hasn't spoken with Google executives about the lawsuit. For more highlights from our Tech Live conference, head to WSJ.com. We report that the mobile streaming service Quibi is shutting down. According to people familiar with the matter, Quibi founder Jeffrey Katzenberg called investors to tell them the news today. The entertainment startup that launched in April after raising $1.75 billion in capital has been plagued with problems, including lower than expected viewership and a lawsuit from activist investor Elliott Management. And Tesla extended its winning streak, notching a fifth straight quarter of profitability and bolstering the outlook for mass-market electric vehicles. The carmaker posted a net profit of $331 million for the three-month period, keeping the company on track for 2020 to be the first calendar year of profitability after years of losses. Tesla shares were up nearly 4% in after-hours trading. They've roughly quintupled since the start of the year. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about the measures health authorities are taking to protect COVID-19 vaccines. Researchers and drug makers around the world are working overtime to get a COVID-19 vaccine on the market. Governments have already been putting in orders to secure doses even before they've been approved. The hope is that once they're on the market, people will stop getting sick and economies will eventually be able to reopen and recover. Clearly, there's a lot riding on these vaccines, and that's not going unnoticed by thieves. So government and health authorities are doubling down on security measures to protect the initial doses. Our pharmaceutical reporter, Jared Hopkins, has been looking into how they're doing it, and he joins me now. Hi, Jared. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jared, it sounds like authorities are taking some pretty intense steps to secure vaccines once we have one. Can you tell us about some of the measures they're taking here to prevent against theft?
Yeah, so companies that are making the vaccines, such as Pfizer, are deploying GPS software for tracking the packages that are going to carry the vaccines. You know, other vaccine makers are planning to take dummy trucks, which are not filled with the vaccines, to sort of throw off criminals, is another thing that they're doing. And then you've got companies like UPS that are going to be involved in shipping that are also going to have tracking ability on some of these things. And then the federal government is planning to have the U.S. Marshals accompany distribution of these vaccines whenever that happens and whenever they're green-lighted to be shipped.
Wow. So it sounds like some of these measures almost sound like we're in a thriller. What is the biggest fear here? What are authorities afraid could happen?
Law enforcement and pharmaceutical companies are concerned about these vaccines falling into the hands of thieves, whether it's organized crime rings who are sophisticated at doing this sort of thing, to individuals who may simply want to get ahead of the line to get the vaccine. And with pandemics in particular, this has happened in the past. H1N1 vaccines about a decade ago were stolen at one point, and there were arrests. There have also been instances in which in the past of a phony Tamiflu was intercepted at the border at an airport. And then at the same time, Tamiflu was also stolen at different warehouses years ago. So there is illegal activity that has gone around with pandemics, and that's keeping people alert.
On the other hand, you spoke to some authorities who say they're more concerned about storage of the vaccine than they are about theft. What are some of the challenges there with storage?
So some of these vaccines, particularly the most advanced ones, require sub-zero temperatures to remain potent. And a couple of them, such as Pfizer, require ultra-cold, something like minus 70 Celsius. And so hospitals around the country and other vaccination sites are working towards securing cold storage. That's their real focus, and it's a legitimate focus. But in talking with some hospitals, some have said that they're focused on securing that storage rather than security is not as much of a focus for them. They're not necessarily thinking that someone's going to come into their hospital or clinic and swipe these vaccines.
And you write also that there's the potential for cyber attacks on these kinds of facilities.
Yeah, I spoke to a cybersecurity consultant who pointed out that one weak point in the supply chain is these actual refrigerators and freezers, because they are hooked onto hospital data networks, basically, you know, the Internet of Things. And those historically have a mixed track record of being secure. And cyber criminals can hack into these networks and adjust temperatures and stuff like that.
Now, you mentioned this earlier, but just to put a fine point on this here, we know this vaccine is highly anticipated, and we know that at first doses will be prioritized for people most at risk. Given the complications you just spoke about in the supply chain, how much is that reality, the covetedness of these vaccines, influencing what we're seeing happen here around trying to protect them?
One person I spoke to had said in the government that they're appropriately paranoid about security for these vaccines. And the vaccines that are already being manufactured are being stored at undisclosed locations. Manufacturing and storage facilities are being souped up to increase protections. And then when they get to any sort of vaccination sites, they're going to be locked in these big pharmacies. And some hospitals are being encouraged to treat them like controlled substances, which is a whole extra layer of security. You know, these are not necessarily how vaccines are normally viewed in the world of security or storage in healthcare. They're not these sort of high value products, especially in the United States, like that.
That's Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Jared Hopkins. Jared, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
During the pandemic, drive-thrus have been good business for fast food restaurants, and curbside pickup programs are bright spots for big box retailers. Now parking lots, once an afterthought, are becoming a lucrative asset. Our real estate reporter Esther Fung says landlords are getting more requests to rent empty spaces for events.
So at a mall parking lot in Minnesota, there's now this haunted drive-in. So this is something that they do for Halloween, where customers come in their cars, they stay in their cars so it's safe, and they're given a radio where they would play a horror story that's unfolding in a mall. And they stay in their cars the entire time, but in the tent, there would be actors coming to their windows with blood and with fake weapons to still give them the horror that they want.
We've got pictures of some parking lot transformations on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.